Well, good morning all. Great sadness from my heart, of course, for the poor Liverpool fans last night. But, I mean, you were unlucky, I have to face it. You know, that goalkeeper was just outstanding, wasn't he? Never mind. Let's put that behind us, shall we? Okay. I remember once crossing the channel in the middle of winter, and unfortunately the sea was very, very rough. We were thrown all over the place. It was so rough, in fact, that we thought we'd have to anchor outside Dover for the night. But the captain of the ferry decided he could make it, you know, through the narrow entrance of the harbour in spite of the waves, which he did. It was amazing. But what followed next was the most amazing bit of sea craft I think I've ever seen. There were so many ships in the port because of the rough weather, there was hardly any room to move. But our intrepid skipper, he decided to turn the ship round for docking in the only berth available between two other ships. And I remember rushing to the stern, you know, to see how close he'd have to get to the wall, the seawall, in order to avoid the other ships. And I swear, I tell you, it was no more than about 10 feet or so as he brought that huge ship round. And so, you know, thanks to him, we were all delivered safely onto dry land and able to continue our journeys in peace. And it made me think, you know, there's something really reassuring about a safe harbour. There's no way the captain would have attempted that manoeuvre out, you know, out on the wild and open sea. And I think in today's gospel, which takes place at the Last Supper, by the way, Jesus becomes or is the harbour for the apostles. They feel safe in his presence. But of course, he knows that the next day he must set sail for stormy waters, Good Friday, and that as yet, there's no way they'll be up to going with him. And at the back of his mind is the fact that he's about to leave them alone, albeit temporarily until the Holy Spirit comes, in a hostile world, and that what will happen to him will also happen to them. Firstly, and it did of course, as he was, they will be opposed by the establishment, who will be incredibly jealous of their success, and against, totally against the new teaching. Not surprising really, you know, in every era and in many organisations, it's fairly common for the old guard, if you like, to resent new initiatives. But this is far more serious. Their opposition will bring death and much suffering, not only to the apostles, but to thousands of the early Christians as well. So Jesus makes that prayer. He prays that they will all be one amongst themselves and also one with him and the Father, because without that all-encompassing unity and the strength which comes from it, they would never be able to convince the world that the incarnation, God becoming man, is actually God's plan for the salvation of all mankind. And during these last 6 weeks of Easter, we've had extracts every Sunday from the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, which many people, of course, find a bit scary because of what they see as direful predictions of the end of the world and total annihilation by the beast, codenamed 666. But the first thing to realise is that St. John chose to write in code because, of course, there was a massive persecution of the church going on at the time. And so it made it very dangerous to be more explicit. However, for all its fearful visions, the whole ethos of the book is actually very positive and very hopeful. Towards the end there, we write at the end of the book there, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come, let all who are thirsty come. All who want it may have the water of life and have it for free." And it shows how the Lord will protect and save all those who trust in him, despite the struggles and the challenges that they face in life. And it's that hope which enables Stephen, as we heard in the first reading, to face his persecutors with utter calmness. You know, give a speech even, and he knows they're going to kill him, and undergo martyrdom while actually praying for their forgiveness as well. And that's the same hope that has carried Christians through every persecution, toil and danger ever since, and will continue to do so. So when Christ says that prayer at the Last Supper, "Holy Father, I pray not only for these, but for those also who through their words will believe in me," he's actually equipping them and us and all generations since for survival in the stormy seas of life. He's not saying it'll be easy, but just as ships aren't built to stay in harbours, nor are we meant to stay in a place where there's no risk. The mission Christ has given us is to make disciples. We've mentioned that a few times recently. We're not to build a defensive wall around the church, but to launch out into the unknown, ready to love and accept people, especially those in need, with no guarantee that we will be loved or accepted in return. We are to show to the world that God's life is in us by the way that we act in unity with him and with our fellow man. And being willing to carry out that mission can be a bit daunting, but we should take courage from knowing that no matter what turmoil, storms or difficulties we may have during the week in our daily lives, rest, calmness and recuperation await us here every Sunday when we come into this harbour to the welcoming embrace of Christ, who is God, our help in ages past, and our shelter from the troubled seas.